Cheerscast is part of the Fire and Water Podcast Network.
Here's my personal check. You'll notice that I made it out to John You Stink Hill.
Sam, this is not up to your usual standards. Now it is.
You want to go where everybody knows your name.
Hello and welcome back to Cheerscast, the podcast where everybody knows your name. I'm your host, Ryan Daly, and my guest this time is an actor whose credits include this year's Switch and Bait, as well as Romeo and Juliet in Harlem, and appearances in Leverage, NCIS New Orleans, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe film Ant-Man and the Wasp. Please welcome Langston Fishburne. What's up, man?
Hey, Ryan. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for being on the show. As a first-time guest, you do get the same question that everybody else gets. How and when did you become a fan of Cheers?
So mine is a little unconventional. When Cheers was airing, I was a kid, and it would come on at night, and then the syndication run would be on around 11 or midnight or something. And I hated the music because that meant I had to go to bed. It's like, nope, Cheers is starting. I've been up too late. I'm going to get in trouble. So I couldn't stand it. And anytime I would hear the music until I was well into my 20s, I'd just get angry. No, this isn't the time. We're not doing this right now. But no, no, Netflix comes along, binge watching has this rise. And I decide, you know what? I'm going to get past this. And I started from season one and ran through the whole show in about a month. Mm-hmm. And just fell in love with the writing, the characters, this self-contained set. Yeah. It's basically like watching a play all mm-hmm. the time. And I've been hooked since.
That is awesome. I don't think anybody else has talked about having like a psychological trigger associated with the music.
Yeah, certainly just such a visceral thing. Yeah. Night Court was great. Cheers. Go to sleep.
Mm-hmm. That's betrayal.
We've come around.
I'm glad you binged it. I'm glad you really, really liked it. I'm glad you reached out. So happy to have you. And folks, yeah, we are up to season 9, episode 14, Achilles Hill. This one written by Ken Levine and David Isaacs, directed by Andy Ackerman, one of the few non-James Burrows episodes. The original air date was Thursday, January 10th, 1991. Sam is still paying John Allen Hill for the use of his pool room and bathrooms. But when he's late with the month's rent, Sam meets John's daughter, Valerie. Sam thinks that dating Valerie would upset John, so he takes her out to Melville's to flaunt their romance in front of her father. It works better than Sam could have imagined. John offers to give him back his pool room and bathrooms if Sam stays away from Valerie, which he readily agrees to. Before long, though, Sam begins to regret the deal, since he actually likes Valerie and wants to pursue her. He plans to take her out again until John discovers that Sam has reneged and rescinds his offer of the back rooms. John does, however, give Valerie his blessing to date Sam, which does not work out for Sam. Now that she'd no longer be sneaking behind her father's back, the allure of dating Sam vanishes, and he is left with neither the girl nor his back rooms.
It's a fun one.
This is one I always kind of forget it whenever I do a rewatch. When I think about this episode, I'm like, oh yeah, this is the one where Sam dates or tries to date John's daughter. And I always kind of remember this as Sam's behavior is one of the more sleazy aspects of it, like kind of behavior. But that's the only thing I think about this episode. And I forget that it's actually a really funny episode. And there's some great moments in this one.
Oh, really solid moments throughout. I love that the cold open is outside in Boston. You almost never get to see it, and it's certainly safe for the later seasons, but actually being there, even though they're shot in L.A., it's such a treat. And you get to see the vet.
You do. You get to see the car, yeah. Yeah, it was a string. They must have had the chance where they're all filming in like a block of these teasers, because there were a couple of them all in a row that are all set outside, and they're all very quick, like hardly any dialogue. But this one, Rebecca and Lilith are walking together up the street in front of the bar. I can't imagine what they might have been talking about.
I guess they hang out outside of Cheers, maybe.
Yeah, or they just have to park next to each other and they're just walking. But anyway, there's a crowd gathered around right outside the bar and on the street, and they're like, what's going on? They're like, there's somebody lying in the street, and they rush over and Lilith being a doctor kind of like takes her, kind of runs over, and we see that it's Woody. Woody is on the ground, and they gather around. They're like, what happened? He's like, don't move me, don't move me. I'm like, okay, it's a medical thing, don't do that. Then you just hear the engine roaring, and Woody pops up and Sam parks his car, his Corvette, his precious vet, right in the spot where Woody was reserving for him by lying down in the street.
An amazing throwaway nothing bit that sticks out. Just, these are these people.
Sam actually says, thanks, Woods. I think he calls him, like, Woods.
Yeah.
Something like that. That's a cute little nickname. So. Fun teaser. Right after the credits, we come back. Woody shows Carla that he discovered something interesting in the back storage, and he whips a veil off of it, or like a tarp, and it's an old foosball table, which causes Carla to scream in terror.
Right.
And Woody doesn't get it, though. He's like, yeah, I was excited, too.
Yeah, this whole exchange with her talking about the foosball table, it's striking how sincerely Kelsey Grammer is listening to the story.
Yeah.
He's so engaged. He's so on. It's great. It's turned this place into a seething pit of resentment and backstabbing. Like, oh, that's how it happened. And you can see Frasier in it. Yeah.
And they're like, well, why didn't you get rid of it? Because, she talks about like how this foosball is cursed, or the table is cursed, and it causes all these problems for people. And they're like, why didn't you just throw it away? She's like, well, we were going to. But the garbage man who was going to pick it up slipped and fell backwards in the traffic. And Carla's like, never forget his last words. What the?
It's just...
See, Frank is just kind of like considering that. He's like, well, not exactly the telltale heart, but... It's a good, scary story.
Mm-hmm. And you see it coming a mile away, but it works.
On the other side of the bar, John comes down. He does his whole Sam. There will actually be a joke about this later, but I love the way he greets Sam because he stretches it out. He makes the word Sam sound like it's four syllables long.
He makes a meal out of that every time. Oh, Sam. Just... Oh.
Sam was like, oh, John, it's so good to see you. It's like, you're lying. It's like, yes, I am.
Yeah, and watching this, I hate Sam so much. Or not Sam. I hate the actor of John Alan Hill so much. He's amazing every time.
Every time.
Oh, this guy, he's a jerk. I don't want him here, but he's doing such a good job of it.
I know. I mentioned that on his first appearance, how, like, when I was a kid, I didn't like the character because he was like, he was the villain, and he always was thwarting Sam, and we were rooting for Sam. But, like, yeah, just kind of once you get older, it's like, God, he's really, really good in this. They do a great bit here with the writing. Yeah, John comes up, and he's like, as you know, I own legal title to your pool room and both of your bathrooms. And Sam is like, why do you always bring that up? You know I hate that. He's like, that's why I bring it up.
Yes.
Like, where was I? Oh, right. As you know, I own legal title to your pool room and both your bathrooms. Now, I love that because it's such a funny way and, like, seamless way of getting around what could have been clunky exposition dialogue. Because the whole thing is predicated on, like, okay, they have this complicated relationship. And if this is your first time watching the show, you have to understand, okay, why does Sam need John's approval for these two rooms? What's going on there? And it's
who is this man?
Right. And if he's just kind of, like, tossing it aside, it's like, well, that dialogue can be really clunky if it's not delivered. But they find a way of making it really funny by like just keep on upping it, like repeating it again and again. Like, that's why it's in there, because John has to keep reminding him, knowing it drives him crazy.
Just taking these shots every time. Every time. It's fantastic. And Sam getting back at him, oh, I'll give you the number of my hairstylist.
Oh,
so much funnier knowing that the actor Ted Danson is balding.
He's like, I bet you came down to get the number for my hairstyles. And then he kind of reacts like almost like he's genuinely sincere. And of course, it's not. He's like, I'm sorry, that was cruel. And he kind of pats his hair. So John reminds me, he's like, you know, your rent is due. And he's like, I could never forget that. You know, you remind me all the time. I see you in my dreams or my nightmares. And he says, you're the reason I'm in therapy for the first time in my life. We'll come back to that moment.
Of course.
But John is like, well, don't forget to tell your therapist that I own the legal title to your pool room and both of your bathrooms.
Yes. Just hammering it away again.
So Sam goes over to write the check, and of Frasier is like, Sam, I'm a little upset that if you need therapy, you didn't come to me. So this is one of those things in the continuity that you have to set aside, because Sam has absolutely been in therapy before.
Yeah, and it would be a conflict if he actually went to Frasier. So this whole dialogue makes no sense.
Right.
If you actually sit and think about it.
But before they were best friends, Frasier was his psychiatrist. He went to Frasier twice, at least twice before.
Oh, yeah.
And as a recovering alcoholic, he would have had this. So it's weird that he says, I think he could have just said the line, you're the reason why I'm back in therapy. There's a few times in this episode where it feels, I don't want to say oddly progressive, but it does, because we'll get into more trans and queer jokes that kind of,
yeah,
that are for the time. We'll come back to those.
Oh, that certainly wouldn't have flown in season one or two.
Right, right. But like with the, I mean, I guess the stigma against therapy was going away, and the recognition of psychotherapy and psychiatrists was much more prevalent at this time. But to acknowledge very casually that your main character is in therapy like this, it did strike me almost as surprising coming back to this. However, because this is what they did, they have to make a joke of it. Because Frasier's like, why didn't you come to me? And of course, there would be a conflict of interest. Why would Frasier even think about that?
Yeah.
But Sam is like, I wanted a doctor who's, you know, blonde hair and smoky eyes and legs and mini skirts and stuff like that. And Frasier's like, oh, Connie Forsyth, she's a good doctor.
Immediately knows who he's talking about.
So she'll straighten you out. And Sam's like, oh, she did. Don't worry about it.
She did.
She already did. Sam goes back to John, and he wrote the check, and he wrote it out to John, you stink, Hill.
So unnecessary, but in keeping with Sam being a child.
Exactly. Very childish, but it works. So.
Oh, a line that got me. Sam, I can't even go to the bathroom without getting mad, talking about John Allen Hill. And George went complete throwaway comedy assassin in with it. Oh, you too, Sammy? And right back to playing foosball.
Yeah, because at this point, Norman Clifford playing the foosball thing. Yeah. And then he's like, he's so mad. He wishes that he could get John somehow. And he's like, oh, that guy's driving me crazy all the time. I need to go see Dr. Forsyth and get this out of my system. He's like, oh, you're going to go talk to her? He's like, no, I'm not going to talk to her. I'm going to get it out of my system.
Bang. Solid bit. Solid callback. Just...
But before Sam can leave, a woman comes out, catches him. It is Valerie, who Valerie Hill is played by the actress Valerie Mahaffey.
Yes.
Mahaffey. Valerie Mahaffey. She's one of those actresses that I see in everything.
Oh, yeah. Great character actress.
Yeah, yeah. Never like a long, like permanent thing, but she was in Northern Exposure a lot. She was in an episode of Seinfeld, just like a bunch of stuff.
An episode of Wings.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I always think of her in this role just because it's Cheers, the reason I'm doing this podcast. It's such a formative thing for me. Valerie catches Sam at the door. She's like, there's a problem with your check. And Sam's like, oh, come on, it was just a joke. He just has to endorse it. John, I still kill. She's like, no, that's not the problem. You wrote it for too much. There's an extra zero here. And he's like, oh, gosh. And he's so grateful that, you know, she caught his mistake. And, you know, he goes over to rewrite a new check. And he's like, you know, I'm surprised to find a really nice woman working for that bald-headed jackass. She calls. She's like, oh, I don't work for him. I'm the bald-headed jackass's daughter, Valerie Eustin Hill.
Which is a great introduction to her character, because we see, all right, she's in on the game. She's willing to play a little, you know. Yeah, my dad, he stinks. But I don't work for him, so it's fine.
Exactly. So, and Sam is apologizing. He's like, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to offend you. I didn't mean for anybody to see that note except for John. She's like, and all the people at the bank.
The bank.
Yeah.
Sure, them too, but...
And then John comes down the stairs and he's like, Valerie, I told you never to come down here. Like, sorry, as if she's a younger, much younger woman. He's like, I don't want you cut, like, associating with these people. And he hands her a handy wipe. He's like, wash your hands.
Like, Cheers. You get infected just by being in the room.
Yeah. There's some credence to that.
Sure. Over time, it gets to everyone. But that moment shouldn't be enough.
Yeah.
There's an interesting moment. With Rebecca interacting with Hill in this scene, too, at the tail end. She says scallops. And I was like, that's really interesting. Isn't she supposed to be from California? And I've only heard it pronounced scallops if you're from New England.
Right, right.
It was just, it's such an interesting choice.
Yeah, interesting. But yeah, the moment, because she's talking about, you know, eating at John's restaurant, it's the best seafood she's ever had. And he's like, well, that's great. And Sam was like, why are you sucking up to him? You know, I hate that guy. She's like, I'm not sucking up. She's like, don't be jealous of John, Sam. You're a great business owner. He's very handsome. And you're terrific. And he's like, well, thank you. She's like, that's sucking up. And she taps him on the chest.
Yes. Another one where it's just so, so clear where it's going before you get there. It's
exactly. So after John and Valerie go upstairs, Woody's like, hey, Sam, I came up with this idea. You know, it might be, you said that you wanted to bother John. I have this plan, but it might be impossible. And Sam's like, I know what you're thinking. I know where you're going, Woody. Like, you think if I date his daughter, that'll drive him crazy. And Woody was like, no, my plan was going to be we shrink you down to microscopic size and then inject you into John with a syringe. So, again, when I picked
you for this episode, Fantastic Voyage.
When I picked you for this episode, I wasn't thinking about the Ant-Man connection, but there it is. Already talking about it.
There we go.
Shrinking down to microscopic size.
Yeah.
And Sam, of course, isn't even listening to this. He's like, yeah, I'm going to go date this guy. He's like, that's a great idea. And he runs off, and Woody's like, me and my big mouth. Now Sam is going to try to contradict the laws of physics or something.
Yeah, one of those moments where Woody is somehow the smartest man in the room and also the dumbest.
With Fraser,
why do you know all these big words?
Fraser just the witness. Later on, we see that Sam and Valerie are on a date at Melville's, of course, so that John can see him. It's interesting, like, how clever she was when she said, when she introduced herself as Valerie, you stink Hill. Like, that made it
again.
But at this point, I don't know if she's playing him or what, because she's like, I've never been out with a guy like you. I don't even know how to act. And she's coming across a lot more innocent, a lot almost ditzier.
She seems really naive in a way. And he feels so predatory.
Yeah. Even though, like, again, like I was saying, this, his behavior is not good. I almost think what makes it, well, I don't want to say this makes it worse, because it would be worse if he definitely had more, like, sinister intentions for her. But it's almost like she's a distant afterthought to him. She's a prop in his
scheme. Yeah.
Because he's not even looking at her at some point. He's looking around for John.
Oh.
And he's just like, just touch my
He's looking for John.
Or something like that.
Which is crossing a line, putting her in his lap too far.
Right.
And then, your hair smells neat. such a non-compliment.
Right. When we do see John, there's a cool little moment. There is an uncredited appearance of the actor Diedrich Bader.
Yes.
The Maitre d'. And I recognized him because we saw him in the previous season, in season 8, in the episode Sammy and the Professor, because he has, like, the best line in the episode. That's when, like, Rebecca is trying to order, she can't decide on her food, and she's like, is the salmon fresh? And he's like, it was when you first started ordering.
Yeah, I was excited to see him. It's like, it's a shame we don't get any lines, but knowing he's there adds depth to this whole...
It does, it's great.
This whole run.
In the background for one shot. Awesome. And then John comes over to see them, and Sam starts talking about Valerie's eyes and her hair and her skin. And he's like, modesty prevents me from going on. John just kind of is like, well, let me get the menu specials or something. And Sam is really disturbed that John doesn't freak out. He's like, I could be going out with you for all the wrong reasons. Doesn't he care? And Valerie's like, are you going out with me for the wrong reasons? He's like, no, of course not.
No. Not for this conversation.
But yeah, like it is really kind of, it's cringy. It was cringy in 1991, but that's kind of the whole point of Sam's behavior here, because he takes a breadstick, he's chewing on a breadstick and puts the other end in her mouth like they're going to chew on it together.
Yeah, so much of it is uncomfortable, but it would all go away if we knew she was on board, and we just don't have that.
Right.
Until
maybe
later on.
He like almost picks her up and puts her on his lap, which is all kinds of wrong, but again, it's like he's just doing this to drive her dad crazy. Like, he's at this point, he really could not care less about her. That will change,
yeah,
but it's
it has nothing to do with her.
Yeah. So, yeah. Again, I don't think that makes it better, but it's not worse. It's just sort of...
I love that when he is talking to John Allen Hill, when they're sitting and he's talking, he actually starts to cry when he says, "Don't you take her away from me."
Yeah.
He gets real tears out, and it's like, this is a half-hour sitcom, man. You're working so hard. It's incredible. I see why they got you for this. Absolutely. For this villain.
Yeah. Sam is like, John, I just did this to irritate you. I didn't know what would cause you genuine pain. And we just see him mouth, yes. He's like looking out of the way almost at the audience. He's like, yes. John is like, you know, like, I'll give you your pool room and both of your bathrooms back if you stay away from her. And Sam's like, look, what kind of person do you think before? That's a terrible walk. And he's like, I'll give you your parking space for your Corvette back. And Sam is like, deal. Throws his napkin down and kisses John on the top of his bald head and walks out.
Oh, and amazing. We're bringing it back to the vet because we just got to see it.
Yeah.
So little touches of continuity.
Yeah. Great little synergy there. And then later on, like after the commercial break, we're downstairs at the bar and Sam is telling all the guys how he won, how he got all of his stuff back. And he's like, I even brought him to tears. Look, I kept some of them on the napkin. The napkin caught some of his tears.
Amazing. And another one you can't think too hard about, but.
Right. Before they left, when he was still trying to make John jealous, he was like, we're going to eat a whole bunch of scallops and then run out of here all breathless and everything. later, they're like, what did you say to the girl? And he's like, who? He's like, oh, yeah, her. And he's like, right. Oh, I better go, you know, break it off with her. But she comes down. She's like, I just came down. I just ate all of the scallops and I'm feeling a little funny.
And suddenly she seems really into Sam.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sure.
Yeah, and there were definitely parts of this where I was like, okay, is she playing him? Or is she and John working together? Like, I did have a lot of questions watching this, like about the motivations and the way things seem to be changing.
Yeah, there's so much of her character that we're not getting to see, mm-hmm. that leaves that interpretation open for a while.
Right, because he breaks it up with her, and she seems sad and he actually seems genuinely regretful. Like, even as he's doing it, he's kind of realizing this is sort of a crummy thing to do.
Yeah, and it's nice that he gets to be aware of how his behavior affects others.
Right.
Because we get there eventually in the show, but any moment where you get to pull back and say, hey, Sam is still a good guy, right, even when he's the bad guy, because he can recognize what he's doing and try and make amends.
Right. Right, exactly. Because this is the moment when he actually sees a person in front of him, that she's not just like part of his scheme. It's when he sees that, oh, he hurt her. There's an actual emotional cost to my actions, which we'll play into a joke later on. We'll talk. There are consequences. So he kind of comes back and they're like, oh, well, you know, Sam, you did it. You got rid of her and you got all your rooms back. He's like, what do you want to do? You want to celebrate by playing pool in your pool room? He's like, nah, not feeling like it. Like, well, do you want to wash your hands in your new bathroom? No, not really. Like, what do you
want to do?
Because, how did he say? He's like, I got those things back and all it took was, all I had to do was throw a little fish back that I didn't want in the first place. And they're like, well, mm-hmm. what do you want to do now? He's like, I kind of want that fish back.
I want that little fish back. And it's so true to life and his addictive nature. He wants what he can't have all the time.
Yeah. A little bit later, we cut away, and now we are back to the guys are all playing foosball. Norm and Cliff are on one team, and Frasier and Woody are on the other team, and Frasier and Woody win, or they get a point, and they're cheering, and the whole crowd, there's a crowd watching them, and everybody's getting really rowdy. And Carla takes the ball, and she's trying to remind them that it's cursed. Frasier says, that is nonsense. Let them play so that he can rip the heads off these pasty-faced geeks and drink their warm red blood.
Just, oh, did my head spin around there?
Everybody just stops and looks at it, and you realize, like, okay.
Yeah. Frasier's fully one of the guys.
Yeah, exactly. Sam is still thinking about Valerie, and Rebecca's like, you know, you only want her because you can't have her. It was the same with me. And Woody's like, you wanted her too, Miss Howe?
Oh, Woody.
And then Rebecca's like, no, she's like, trust me. He's like, Sam, if I offered myself to you right now, you wouldn't even be interested. He's like, maybe not, but I'd still perform because I'm a professional.
And that was actually one of my runners up. Such such good timing. Like, you can tell they rehearsed that so much to have it feel like such an off the cuff remark from him. Just of course. Yeah. I'm Sammy.
That's when Frasier warns me. It's like, look, if you go, if you pursue Valerie again, you could lose your pool room and your bathrooms. He's like, and he's like, what are you talking about? He's like, well, you're, if you take action, those actions have consequences. He's like, no, I don't. I'm Sammy. Where have you been all these years? It's a funny line. It's a nice little show of like bravado on Sam's part. However, he has faced numerous unfortunate consequences to his actions.
Oh yeah,
many years.
We get to see things blow up in his face for the better.
Yeah.
for our enjoyment.
Yes. Yeah.
And that leads to the whole Nietzsche's Superman.
Such a good moment. That's a good moment.
Run.
Yeah, Frasier's like, I forgot you're Nietzsche's Superman. I was like, is that the one with the craggy face who looks like granite?
No, that's Bizarro Superman.
He's like, well, which one was weakened by red kryptonite? That was blue Superman. Woody, I thought he was black and he wore big hats.
No, that's Superfly. Just such inane bar talk.
And
that
Frasier just face palming during the scene.
You could hear that same conversation today.
I've made the point before, but Kelsey Grammer deserved all of the awards just for his responses.
Oh.
Just for being the surrogate of the audience in some of those scenes. They're talking more about the foosball they want to play. Or Norm takes the foosball out of Carla's pocket. They're like, we're going to play again. And Frasier has to tell Carla that it's not demonic. There's nothing wrong. And he puts his hand into the goal to pretend like it's eating him. Like he does the whole like, ah, and it's just a prank. But then he actually does get his hand stuck in there and can't get it out. And they're all laughing. He's like, no, I'm serious. It's really stuck. And Norm's like, yeah, that's why we're laughing.
That's the joke now. It's such a bold move from Norm to take something from Carla.
Yeah.
Just, whew, that is the bravest thing I think I've seen him do.
So Sam, he's committed. He's going to try and go away with her. He's going to try and pursue Valerie without letting her dad know so that he can have both the cake and eat it too, which of course we know how this is going to work out because it always does.
Of course.
He writes a little love note or a little love letter to Valerie and has Woody take it upstairs to go see her because he can't be seen, by John. And Woody's like, don't worry. He explains that he was the regular go-between in Hanover and he was always being called upon to deliver love notes or secret missives between people. He says, got to be the point where he couldn't knock on someone's door without being hit with birdshot or something, or getting his butt filled with birdshot.
Just, what is this place, Hanover?
God, so good.
And how many trysts are going on that you have this?
You have your reputation. It's like anytime you see him, oh, he's delivering a secret note to my wife or something. So Woody comes back a few minutes later and he's like, I couldn't find Valerie, but I gave the note to Reuben, the busboy. He's really excited to go out, Sam. He wants to know what to wear. Sam is like, didn't you tell him that the note was for Valerie? He's like, I couldn't break his heart, Sam. It meant so much to him.
And I love this exchange. Part of me does wish we got to see Reuben come down and do this, but Woody doing it, perfect.
That's a name that they use a couple of times, Reuben the busboy at Melville's. He becomes sort of a character in the ether of the show.
Yeah, another Vera figure.
Yeah, exactly. Similar, yeah. And then Valerie comes down completely unaware of what Sam's scheme was. So she comes down, she's like, Sam, this isn't funny. It's one thing to string me along, but Reuben the Buffalo is in a very vulnerable state. He just split with a pastry chef.
It's just, they care about Reuben.
Poor man.
She cares, I care now.
So Sam's like, no, look, I'm sorry, there was a miscommunication. The note was for you. And she's like, I thought you didn't want anything to do with me. You just brushed me off. He's like, that wasn't brushing you off. Well, I wouldn't know. I've never brushed anyone off before. And you just hear a random woman at the bar just kind of looks at me and goes, and he's like, okay, so. he moves her away, and he kind of like he asks her that they can if they can go away to the Cape before go away to the Cape, like Cape Cod or something. He's like, you know, I've never been there before. And another woman at the bar next to him goes, they're all like sort of scoffing at him. So he takes Mallard to the table, and they kind of sit down to each other, and he's like, look, we should do that. I want to do this, but we can't let your dad know. And she's like, oh, I agree. If he found out, I get the feeling he doesn't approve of you. Something like that. And Sam is like, he's like, no, it's not that, you know, he wouldn't approve. It's just, I don't like to do my romantic stuff in public.
Oh, the look.
Where you're waiting for it. And so is he, because he looks around.
His neck gets 3 feet long, just around the bar.
Waiting for some woman to scoff at that. And she's like, well, I'm really surprised that you would care so much about being in public after you had me sit on your lap. And he's like, was that forward or something? I don't know. I've never done that before. And six women.
Yeah, I don't think we've ever had that many women in Cheers at one time.
We've all apparently been on dates with Sam. Because they all scoff and turn, and they just get up and start walking out the exit. What is them? And Sam's like, well, you know, the blonde woman, I think she just has a sinus problem. The others just have bad attitudes.
Yeah, bad sinuses. The rest have bad attitudes. Just... I guess he stays on good terms with these women for the most part.
Apparently, yeah.
If they're coming back to Cheers and right. Not to see him.
Right. A little bit later still, Frasier still has his hand stuck in the foosball table, and he's pulled up a chair so he can sit next to it. And he's like, I feel so stupid. And Carla shows up with reinforcements. She's like, I got somebody who's going to help you. And Frasier's like, thank you. And she brings in the fourth and final appearance of guest actor or guest character Father Barry, played yes. by Eric Christmas. This is his fourth appearance on Cheers. This will be his last one, but he comes in, and yes, Carla didn't bring in somebody who can take apart the machine or a doctor or anything like that. She brought in a priest to perform an exorcism on the foosball machine.
Well, it is Carla. Yeah. I'm sure, you know, if she doesn't have a psychic, she's getting a priest.
Right. And Father Barry's like, we don't do this. The Catholic Church does not perform exorcisms, certainly not on machines. And she's like, well, first you get rid of speaking Latin, and now this? What are we paying you for?
Bringing up Vatican II, of course. Carl's got some feelings about this.
Exactly. Father Barry walks up to pray. He's like, I can still help you, my son. You do trust me, right? And he's like, of course, Father. And he just clumsily yanks his hand out of the hole. Frasier just cries, like, ow! Father just, he's like offering the pain up to God, and Frasier's just looking at him like, are you serious? It's like, that is how you...
That's all you've got for me? Great.
Well, Valerie comes down, she's got her stuff. This is, again, it's one of those things, you only notice this when you have to hyper-scrutinize a show on a weekly basis for these things, but like, the fact that she has her luggage at the bar at Cheers and Melville's, like, he's not picking her up at her apartment or her house, all of the action has to happen at the bar. Even though
true.
It makes no sense.
This one I actually can get on board with, because we don't know how long she's been in town when she comes to visit her dad.
You know what? Like, actually,
Mel visits
her first appearance of her. You know, okay. That's a no prize. Yeah. That works.
Yeah, that's his restaurant. She's coming from the airport straight to work. Bag is down. Sure, we have got the day, but we haven't had another transition from day to night. So it's the same day. It could be. I've arrived. Yeah.
I'll take that. That's a good one. Yeah, she's like, I got my stuff, but we should leave soon because I can barely get away. And he's like, oh, did your father almost see you? She's like, no, Reuben, the busboy, still in tears. And Sam is like, maybe I should send him something.
Yeah.
I appreciate this because, like, they were joking about a gay character, a gay relationship, but they weren't judging or making fun of that.
No, it was never the butt.
Right. That was just the contrast of it. The irony of it was the joke. So I just kind of like that. Should I send him something? Should I send flowers?
Sam being invested again, caring about the emotional cost.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy. So she goes, before they leave, she goes to freshen up in the bathroom. Sam says to Woody, he's like, nice, isn't she? He's like, oh, Woody's like, oh, she's awesome. She's sweet and warm and wonderful. Back in Hanover, my brother and I had a name for a woman like that. Like, what'd you say? Mom.
And then the threat. Woody's threat. Every now and then.
By the way, Sam, if I ever catch you near my mom, you better pray the Lord takes you before I do.
And he's serious. Woody doesn't make idle threats.
And these are fun exchanges, like when you have like the benefit of hindsight and you think like, oh yeah, like 2 years from now he'll be in Natural Born Killers and other like crazy dark shows and movies and stuff.
And you believe him as that character.
Right.
Just as much as you believe him as this fool from Hanover. Mm. Or sorry, a doofus from Hanover, that was the saying.
The doofus. You know, better than a doofus from French Lick, Indiana.
Exactly.
Like Larry Bird. And then John comes down because he says that he has a new contract, giving the back rooms back to Sam. And he sees, he's like, he thinks he recognized that suitcase, which again would give credence if the suitcase was in his restaurant all day.
Yeah.
Like set it down in his office.
It's right there.
Then, yeah, actually, that might support your theory. So he's like, isn't this Valerie's suitcase? He's like, I don't think so, no. And Sam's like, no, that's mine. It's mine. He's like, what about the monogram? It says VH. Sam's like, no, that's it used to belong to Van Halen.
Sure, I believe that. Sam was a ball player. They hung out. Sure, why not?
Because not Bunny. It just takes the suitcase, just opens it up. He's like, indulge me, Sam. And he pulls out ladies' garments and everything, like a lingerie. And Sam, like, you got me, John. I'm a transvestite.
Fully committed, no hesitation.
Yeah. And John just holds one up. He's like, and a size 7? And Sam, like, you can dream.
Like, how? It's such a weird progressive moment.
Yeah, again, because there's no judgment about it. It's that's not where the humor is. It's not attacking it. It's not ridiculing it. It's just, again, the joke is on Sam, just thinking that he can play this off and sell it.
Yeah.
And then Valerie comes back, and John realizes what's going on, and he is disappointed, but he gives them his blessing. And John thinks, Sam thinks that John is doing this just so that Sam will lose interest in her. But it's actually...
It's
Valerie.
The other way around.
The other way around. Valerie loses interest once dating Sam is no longer verboten. She's like, now it just seems like I'd be going with some greasy bartender.
And this saves most of the episode for me. In those moments where it could have been really uncomfortable, him coming on to her the entire time, because we don't get to see how she feels until now. And it's like, actually, she was in on it.
Mm-hmm.
To her degree, and now that it's not fun for her, she's done, and she gets to decide.
If she was always in this to some extent, just to kind of needle her dad or stick it to him, or because he would disapprove, I think back to at the beginning when she first came down, she was getting Sam to fix the check that he wrote, because he wrote a check for the wrong amount, and John said, I was perfectly happy with the amount as written. he's like, you didn't have to come down here and fix the situation. So it's like, all right, well, she was already costing John some money, whether he knew it or not.
Yeah. Valerie, you stink hill.
Valerie, you stink hill. So she leaves, and John, all too happily, rips up the contract. He's no longer giving the rooms back to Sam, obviously. And he's like, by the way, I'm doubling the rent.
Just insult to injury. You can't do that. You can't just say that and have it be, but...
Because he once again, he owns full legal title to the pool room and both bathrooms. And Sam is just like, oh, God, he's like, he lost again. He lost the rooms. He lost the girl. He's just so frustrated. He's like, he can never beat John. If only there was some way he could stick to him. Wait. I know the way. This is the busiest time in the restaurant. It's the worst time to be without their lead busboy. And Sam goes to the stairs and shouts out, Ruben, get your coat. We're going dancing.
Such a good moment. Just caps the episode. Yeah. Sam doesn't care. He's going to get it. He's going to get it, John, however he can.
Yeah, however, yeah. So yeah, like so I remember the cringiness of Sam pursuing Valerie in these scenes, but I forget how much of like the other like really funny parts there are. I think we could have used one more scene, some other resolution with the foosball table.
Sure. It's kind of an afterthought.
Yeah, it gave the other guys something to do, although I think like Cliff maybe has one line of dialogue in the whole episode, maybe.
Rebecca's barely in it. She has her little exchange with Sam, but that's right. It.
Although, listeners, the next episode after this is going to be the first of a two-parter that is all about Rebecca. And we finally come to a new sort of crossroads with her and Robin. But that's foreshadowing for the next one. So. Yeah, a fun episode. I like this one more than I thought I would like it rewatching it.
Yeah, I was worried that it wasn't going to hold up as well through a modern lens. But like I say, so much of it gets saved through Valerie's performance towards the end. And seeing her character have agency really, really turns what could have been very painful to watch in this cringy way and be like, oh no, she's fun in her own right. And yeah, all the mentions to Ruben. Yeah.
I don't know what else they could have done. They would have had to, I'm sure they could have come up with some, I wouldn't have minded if we saw Valerie again in the show, if they brought her back to some extent. I don't know exactly what they would have had for her character. Maybe nothing that worked, but she was a good presence that I enjoyed in the show for this episode.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, it could have been a nice 1-2 punch between her and her dad.
Right.
Needling Sam. Because now she's somebody he wants and can't have again. Yeah. Yeah. And he's in that position that we've grown to love.
Yeah. For Norm's tab, I was surprised he had 4 beers this episode, which surprised
me.
Huh. Like the first half of the episode, up to the point where they're in the restaurant, we see a half-drunk beer, a half-empty beer at his bar spot, like at his place in the stool. So I gave him credit for that one, but he's never near it. Like we never see him drinking one. But in the second half, there's so many like little time jumps and advances in the story for like
new passage,
that every time he has a new beer, I'm counting that as a new one.
Those slipped right past me. I barely noticed because he was busy with his foosball and Frasier and all of that.
And that takes him up to 891 for the series so far.
Don't joke about his kegs.
Oh, that whole running joke. We don't joke about that. I don't find this funny.
No, so serious.
Who was your employee of the week or your MVP?
My MVP, tempted to give it to Ruben. It's John Allen Hill.
Okay.
The actual tears in that moment. Because again, he could have gotten away with faking it. He could have just put his hand or his face in his hand and called it a day. Yeah. That is a professional at work.
Mm.
And, you know, sometimes they do give the funniest lines and the best moments to their guests. And this is one of those where they gave him a chance to be an actor, you know, at work, at his craft, in a serious way, in what is otherwise a fun and lighthearted role and show overall. Yeah. So, yeah, John Allen Hill.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I wanted to give it to Sam, but Sam will have plenty of opportunities, and I did really like her performance. So I'm giving it to Valerie. I think she did enough. I didn't even call it out, but one of my favorite parts, the cringy part, when Sam actually puts her on his lap and she's like, Sam, I'm not sure I'm comfortable with this. And he's like, oh, hang on. And he just slides her over like half an inch to one side.
Just enough.
It's like, oh, I like that.
Yeah. And that's one of those moments you're like, huh, I think she knows. She's playing naive. She knows what's going on.
Yeah, absolutely. For the home runs, that was one of mine. The whole sequence with the women scoffing at Sam, like one at a time.
So solid, so funny.
When they all walk out together. But my favorite part is actually the third one, when Sam says it and then braces for it. He's like looking around. He's like, who's gonna scoff? Who's gonna tisk at me? He's like,
yeah, he knows.
He's like, okay, I pass that one. So.
Yeah, My home run is the ending line. It's, I can still hit him where it hurts. This is the busiest time in his restaurant. Watch this. Hey, Ruben, get your coat. We're going dancing. Like, oh, yeah. Sam is still so silly and petty. And, you know, it's a nice punctuation mark to the whole episode.
One of my other runners up was just, and I called this out before, but the way John repeats the "I own legal title to your pool room in both bathrooms," because as I said, it's not only a funny repetition, but it actually delivers needed exposition at the beginning and finds a clever way of using it.
We get to know exactly what the relationship is, and yeah, he says it like 3 or 4 times in the space of 2 minutes. even if you don't own my pool room and both of my restrooms, I'm annoyed.
Yeah. Don't forget to tell your therapist.
Yeah. The other runner-up was the exchange between Sam and Rebecca. If I told you right now you could have me, I bet you wouldn't be interested. Maybe, but I still perform because I'm a professional. And that's how he sees himself in this context.
It goes back to in the 200th episode, which would have aired just like shortly before this episode, earlier this season, when they have all the compilation, their greatest hits, their clips and everything, in one of the interview segments when they're on the panel, and they ask Ted Danson, he's like, what is the role of Sam? And he says, service the queen bee. And it gets like, I was like, yeah, I thought maybe he had this line in mind when he was being interviewed.
Mm-hmm. He thinks of it as pleasure. Yeah. He's doing them a service.
It's for their benefit. Langston, thank you very much for being on this episode. This was a lot of fun. Hope you'll come back for next season.
Oh, yeah. Give me a call. I'll be here.
We'll do. Anything you want to plug? Anything you need to mention before you go?
Ooh. All right. So if you want to hear more of these dulcet tones, I can be found at wrbh.org. It's a reading for the blind service, one of only 3 in the nation. I do that, read novels, magazines, news, all kinds of stuff. Great organization, good fun. And if you search for Langston Fishburne on any streaming site or the internet, you can find a bunch of projects I'm in. I have a few movies streaming on Prime and Apple and all the other big services, so check out Follow Me and Discontinued and everything else that you can find that has my name on it.
Very cool. Very cool. Check it out. That reading for the blind sounds awesome. I need to look into that.
Yeah, it's started in 1982, I believe. And okay, like I say, one of 3 in the entire nation.
And yours truth. Well, thank you. And thanks to all of you who listen to Cheerscast and support the show by liking and sharing on social media and leaving comments on the website, fireandwaterpodcast.com. You can also support the Fire and Water Podcast Network on Patreon. Cheerscast is supported by the Right On Network and Jeff and Rick Presents Unpacking the Power of Power Pack. Go to patreon.com/FW Podcast to support your favorite show on the Fire and Water Network. Thanks everyone for listening, and until next time, you stink.
Oh, God, what did you deliver the note there?
Well, I couldn't find this hill, so I waited around a while and ended up leaving it with Ruben, the busboy.
No, good, thank you, man.
Yeah, he's really looking forward to the weekend. He wants to know what he should wear.
Woody, didn't you tell Ruben that the note was for Valerie?
Well, Sam, I didn't have the heart. He was so happy. He was walking on air.
Sam, this isn't fair. It's one thing to string me along, but our busboy Ruben is in a very vulnerable state.